You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier and I'll be here for the next 2 hours. And the first hour I've got with me is Bill Matthews from Matthews Funerals. Now, we're not going to have a depressing discussion, but there are, unfortunately, all of us at some stage of the game are going to leave this earth. And not only that, we'll have to get a funeral ready. So really what we're going to talk about today is the best time to talk about these things are when you're healthy and happy and everyone can have a bit of a discussion and move on. There's nothing worse than if all of a sudden you've got to do a funeral and you don't know what the person's wishes were. And I guess that's a bit of what we're talking about today as well. So welcome, Bill.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me in.
No worries. Bill, I guess one of the things I'll kick off by asking is one of the discussions I would have thought that people should have is whether they want to be buried or cremated. Am I right there?
You certainly are. And that's probably one of the main problems that we have when we go to see a family is, did Dad want to be buried or would Dad want to be cremated? And half the family will say, Dad always said, bury me wherever. And the other half will say, no, Dad told me he wanted to be cremated. And this is something that families really need to get sorted out before somebody dies. And often it's too late when somebody is dying, is actually dying, to ask them, what are we going to do with you, Dad? Are we going to bury you or are we going to cremate you? Because family don't want to do it then. So as Alan said, when you're healthy is when you want to start talking about it. And let your family know what your wishes are, even if you put them down on paper. And sometimes people say, oh, I'm going to put it in my will. But the problem is the will doesn't get read probably for a month after that person has died. And we have had the situation where I've been to see a family, and luckily for us, it all worked out well. But it was a long weekend, and I went to see the family. And on the Friday, Dad had died, and they said, we're going to have a burial. And so I'd booked the cemetery for the Tuesday. Book the church for the Tuesday. We're going to have the service in the church and then go straight out for burial. Then on the Sunday morning, they rang me and they said, we've suddenly found Dad's will and he's not to be buried at all. He's to be cremated. So didn't give us much time, but we were able to get the paperwork that we needed. And back in those days, we had to get an extra certificate from the doctor to do it. And of course, you have to get another doctor to come in and verify everything. So, but we got it done and we're still able to have the service on the Tuesday. We cancelled the cemetery for the burial and we had the cremation. But often it's not going to fall into a situation like that where you've got that time to do it. So it is very important that family do know whether you wish to be cremated or you wish to be buried. And you don't have to be cremated or buried. You can have whatever you want. And sometimes people say, oh, Dad was buried. Now Mum thinks that she would really like to be cremated, but she feels she has to because Dad's buried. That's not the case. Dad could be buried, have a grave. Mum could be cremated, and the cremated remains can be placed into the grave with Dad. So, you know, that's something that can be done. So, as I say, back to you do need to make a decision as to whether that person is going to be cremated or buried. And it's fairly important to let your family know because it can split a family up. If a half the family think that Dad wanted to be buried and the other half thinks he wants to be cremated, it can really upset things.
Bill, there's no fallback, is there? It's not a case of saying, oh, well, if you haven't left, decided one, then this is what it's going to be. It really is up to the family to decide, isn't it?
It is up to the family, and they've got to tell us what to do, and we do exactly what we're told to do. And, of course, then the other thing you've got to think about then is, are we going to have a service in a church? A lot of people today say, I'm not going to go to a church because I feel hypocritical, even though we got married in a church, and I feel as I'm a Christian, but I haven't been to church since I got married. And that's not the way the churches look at it. They're quite prepared to have you come back into the church if you are a Christian, and if you wish to go and have a Christian service, they're quite prepared for you to do that. So they're things you've got to decide. Am I going to have a service in a church when I die? Or am I going to have a service in the funeral home? Or am I going to go to one of the chapels at the crematorium or the cemetery and have a service there? So, you know, it plays a big part on And they're important decisions because, as I said, they can split a family up, and you don't want that to happen. You don't want your family to be upset when you've done that.
It's at a very vulnerable time too, isn't it?
A very vulnerable time. And people suddenly can turn from sorrow to anger, and that very easy. So people can get very upset with each other over their ideas, what Dad wanted or Mum wanted, to what their brother or sister say Dad or Mum wanted.
So, fair enough. So I have with me Bill Matthews, and we're talking about when a person passes on, and we're not going to get depressive. We are just going to lay some facts in front of you, because as Bill and I both agree, the time to have these discussions is when everyone's healthy and happy, and things can change overnight. Things can change overnight. So we want to be prepared. Bill, I guess one of the other things that's got a big opportunity to split families open is organ donation. You know, some think you should, some think you shouldn't. Would you like to take that through, please, Bill?
Well, I'll start by saying I'm an organ donor myself, so yep. I'm listed as an organ donor. That doesn't mean that when I die, they'll take my organs. So I've got to die in the right circumstances. So if I was to drop dead here now...
Well, don't do that.
But that's right, I'll try not to. But if I was to drop dead here now, they could take me away and I would go to the coroner's first off straight away. And being an organ donor, they probably wouldn't be able to take anything from me because I was already dead. They'd be able to take my eyes, but my eyes aren't good enough, so they wouldn't be able to do that. And they could probably take some of my skin for skin grafts, or they could take some of my bone, but they couldn't take the organs that I would perhaps want for someone to have, such as my heart or my lungs. So you have to really die in the right circumstances. So let's say that I just had some sort of seizure here, got taken off to the hospital. My family was told I'm on life support, that I'm not going to survive. They would keep me on life support while they took my organs, so that those organs then could be transferred across to someone else, so that they could be used. So once the organs had actually died and they got me the next day, it's too late to get those organs, to use those organs.
Bill, can I just go back one step?
Yes.
Pardon me. So you're an organ donor and you're registered as an organ donor. Can one of your family then come up and say, I don't want that to happen?
Yes, they could. But then it would come back to my wife. And
yep.
She would make the final decision, being the senior next of kin. But if my wife had gone, it would come back to whoever was the executor of my estate.
But they'd have every right. Say, we'll take a hypothetical. I don't like using people, but we'll say your wife, while she along the line thought it was a good idea, and all of a sudden something's happened to you, and she said, I don't want to be an organ donor. Even though it's your express wish?
I believe she can. Yeah, I believe she can. So I think that can happen, that could stop it. They don't want to have a legal fight over my organs. I'm talking about the doctors and that. They don't want to have a legal fight.
Oh, no. Right. So they would just go with the next of kin?
Yeah, they would go with what the family wanted. Yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, and I've got Bill Matthews with me, and we're talking about the sorts of discussions you need to have as a family when everybody's feeling well, so that if anything happens down the track, that you know what the wishes are. So we're really just trying to give you a lot of information. Bill, I'm told during the night, if somebody passes over in your home, you get up in the morning and you know that they've gone, that they've cold and all sorts of things. I'm told if you ring the ambulance, that they won't come. They say they don't deal with dead bodies. A, is that true? And B, what do you do about it if you can't call the ambulance? And C, how does the coroner get involved in some of these? Who makes the decision and who rings the coroner, I guess?
Okay, so if you wake up in the morning and your partner or mum or dad have passed away, you're really not qualified to say that they've died. So
yep.
What you'd normally do is you'd normally call the doctor, or you'd call the ambulance and say, look, I think that mum or dad have passed away, so the ambulance will come, right?
Oh, well,
as long as they're definitely sure, or you're definitely sure that mum or dad maybe still be alive, right?
Right.
If they're, you're completely sure that they're dead, well, it depends where they are, whether they'll come. But usually they'll come and they'll verify that that person has died. They won't take them away, though. That's one thing that they won't do, is they won't take a person who has died away. And let's say that, and we'll come back to me dying, let's say that I've died and the ambulance is, the family call the ambulance comes to see me, and the ambulance said, yes, he's definitely dead. Has he been seeing a doctor lately? And the family would say, no, he hasn't, there's nothing wrong with him. So they would call the police, because then they would believe it's a coroner situation. Because
the police come involved?
Yeah, the police become involved. Right. So the police would then turn up they would ring the coroners. They'd explain to the coroners what had happened, that they've rang my doctor in the middle of the night or whenever, and my doctor said, no, he's as fit as a fiddle, he shouldn't have died. So it becomes a coroner situation then. So they'd transport my body into the coroner's, but they'd have to call the coroners have a funeral people who come and pick the body up and take that into the coroner's.
Right.
But if my doctor had said, oh, look, he had a crook heart, yes, I'd say he's died of a heart attack, I will sign off on it, so you don't have to worry. But if I'm going into the coroner's, the police would get identification signed from one of the family members to say that it's definitely me.
Yep.
They'd take me into the coroner's. The coroner would then notify the family that they're going to do an autopsy on me. And it probably within a week, hopefully within a week, sometimes it has been a little bit longer, but within a week, my body would be returned to the funeral home that my family would have chosen, and they'd go ahead then with my funeral. But you usually have to have somebody verify death. So let's say I have died, and the ambulance has rang my doctor and said that Bill's passed away. Will you do a certificate? And the doctor says, yes, I will. The ambulance driver can verify that I've died. That's no problems. Mm. But if family ring the doctor and the doctor said, well, I can't come till tomorrow, they still need to have somebody, before the funeral director can pick that body up, pick my body up, they still need to have somebody to verify that I've died. So there's locum services out there that are going around all the time. But out here in the Yarra Valley, it's probably a little bit far for them to come. And what we've often had to do is we've often had to come and get somebody from a home, take them into the hospital, the Maroondah Hospital, and ask a doctor to come out to our van and check the person that's there and just verify that they have died. Because we're really not allowed to take somebody unless they've been verified as having died.
Oh, right.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier and you're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, where it's 20 minutes to 1, and I've got with me Bill Matthews, and we're talking about the sorts of discussions that people need to have when they're all feeling nice and healthy, so that if something happens, particularly at short notice, you know exactly what those person's wishes are and it doesn't create problems in the family. Bill, you're going to tell us a bit about the sorts of things that people need to know to get to be able to answer.
Yes, Alan. One of the things is that, and I spoke before about whether we'd have the service in a church, a chapel, or where we'd have the service. The other is whether we're going to use a minister, priest, or a celebrant. And it sort of comes back to, sometimes people think just because they haven't been to church for X amount of years, they can't use a minister or a priest. They're quite welcome to use a minister or a priest if we can get one for them. But they're things that the family should know about, because it's no good saying that we're going to have a celebrant and then a couple of months down the track after we've had the funeral service that Auntie Jo says, you do know that your dad wanted to have a priest do the service because he'd gone back to God in the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. So they're things that are very important to get sorted out beforehand, because it does come back to problems you can have later on in life. Of course, then we come back to what we're going to do at the service, how we're going to do it. So when the funeral director comes to sit down with you, there's a heap of things that he's got to go through. And the things that I've just touched on there before are some of them, such as where we're going to have the service, whether we're going to have a priest, a celebrant, or whether we're going to have a burial or cremation. We then start thinking about when we're going to have it in the morning, in the afternoon. If we have it in the morning, are you then going to finish off with a wake and have a luncheon somewhere? Or in the afternoon, are we just going to have some tea, coffee, bickies and cake somewhere, or go down the pub? So they're things that need to be decided. And of course, when we're doing the service, organising the service, we need to think about music. Now, something that's come into funerals over the last few years is photo tributes, so that you know, the funeral director would most likely ask you for 60 to 80 photos to put onto a DVD, so that during the service we can have that come up on the big screen and have a so when you walk into the chapel or the church, you have a big photo of Dad up on the screen, and then during this part where we'd have reflection time, we just push the button and that photo disappears, and we listen to a favourite bit of Dad's music and see all the photos that relate to Dad, back from when he was a young child to when he got married, when the children were born, when they moved into the first house, all those sorts of, the first dog, first cat, all those sorts of things that were part of Dad's life. And I think that's one of the greatest things that's happened, is these photo tributes, because all of a sudden you'll see Dad on the screen, and you're in a sad situation, you're in a funeral, all of a sudden you'll see a photo of Dad come up on the screen, Dad's got hair, and everybody will laugh, and you think to yourself, what am I doing laughing at Dad's funeral? And look, it's one of the best things that helps families get through, is to see these photos and to see these old photos. And black and white photos come up better than what a lot of people think. They think, oh, I can't use those photos because they're black and white, but believe me, they come up extremely well. And of course, then the next thing is, you need to think about, are we going to record that service? And people say, no, I don't want to record it, I don't want to remember Dad's funeral. No, I don't. But if they don't record it, and because it's a privacy act, if they don't tell the funeral director to record it, down the track they might think, oh, look, I remember someone said something nice about Dad at the funeral, I'd really like to know what it was, but I can't remember. They haven't got any way of checking it, of going back and having a look at that funeral. You know, you mightn't want to have a look at that funeral DVD ever, but then you might. So if you've got it home, you've got it in the drawer, you don't have to look at it, you can have it there for years, and then all of a sudden you might just get the urge to have a look at it and just have a look and just see what it was that was said. And of course, another thing to that we'll ask family if they wish to have is if they'd like to have a book there that people will sign. And I think that's a good thing. You might only look at that book once or twice after the funeral. But let's say I come to your dad's funeral, and I'm at your dad's funeral, and I write my name and I put down Bill Matthews. And a couple of days later, you're looking at that book to see who attended, because on the day it was like a blur to you. You just can't remember anything, but you'll see my name, you'll see Bill Matthews, and you say to yourself, I remember now, he was there, he came up and spoke to me. So that book is, as I said, it's probably only good, you know, to look at once or twice after the funeral, but I think it's fairly important to have that there, so that you do have a memory of the people who were there, because, well, even though you might record the service, the camera doesn't go around showing everybody, because not everybody likes to be seen. And of course, it comes back to the music also. Normally have a piece to start with in the service, and then you have a piece for the photos and a piece to finish with, and you've got to decide whether you want to have hymns. Mum and Dad might have been a little bit religious, and so of course, when you see, if you decide on a celebrant, when you see the celebrant, you've got to decide, do I want some prayers, or do I not want prayers? You can't ask a minister or a priest to do a non-religious service. You've got to remember that they are from the church and they are part of God. But you can ask a celebrant to do a bit of prayers, but you can't ask a minister or a priest to do a non-religious service. That's what they're there for. They're there for to preach the word of God. We then ask the family if they want to put notices in the paper. Do you want to put a death notice in the paper? Do you want to put a funeral notice in the paper? Or nowadays, And it's sort of passed me a little bit because of my age, but a lot of people are saying that we're doing it online, and it surprised me a little while ago. We had over 300 people turn up at a funeral service. We didn't have any notices in the paper, but they'd done everything online, and all these people turned up, and that surprised me and showed me that...
It's a powerful thing, social media, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Mm. Things are changing, you know.
Absolutely.
It's completely changing. And then, of course, this is one of the important things you've got to think about. What sort of coffin are we going to have? You know, if we're going to have a burial, are we going to have a solid wood coffin? If we're going to have a cremation, it doesn't mean you can't have a solid wood coffin, but you might like to have a wood veneer coffin, which is a little bit cheaper, looks as good as a solid wood coffin's. So that's an important part. You've got to decide on that. Some people say Dad would like the cheapest coffin there is. Well, that's fine, but it's good for Dad to tell them that too, or Mum to tell them to do that. And you know, I've had a situation where we'd organised the funeral, and the day before we did the funeral, the son, or one of the sons who'd been away for about 10 years, came back, and he came to see me, and he said, look, they've organised everything, and I want to do something. What can I do? And I said, I don't know. It's up to you. I said, I'd do whatever you want me to do. And he said, can you show me the coffin that Mum chose? And Mum chose a nice, quite a nice coffin. He said, what if I was to get that, and it was a better coffin. He said, what if I was to get that and pay for it myself? He said, can you do that? And I said, of course, if Mum's happy with that. And that's what we did. He got a fairly expensive coffin, but it made him feel good. So that made him feel good to have done that, to have contributed that way. And family were happy enough about it, and that made him feel good. So it's a coffin, you know. Am I going to spend a lot of money on it? Am I going to have a casket? There are things that you've got to think about. And also, we've got to think about, are we going to carry the coffin out? So if we have a service in a church, are we just going to wheel the coffin out? Or we have a service in a chapel, are we just going to walk away? Or are we going to carry the coffin out, put into the hearse, and the hearse drives away? And there are things that you need to think about. And then you've got to decide, well, my two sons are going to be pallbearers, my two grandsons, a couple of my brothers. You know, they're things that you need to think about, because when the time comes, you know, you don't want to have the two brothers fighting over, oh, look, my sons need to be pallbearers, I don't think you should be a pallbearer. You want to get that sorted out beforehand, because it does come back to sorting these things out beforehand. And you've got
and
to do
having the
that.
Discussion well
That's
beforehand
right.
too, isn't it?
And of course, you know, I might like wildflowers, so we might have wildflowers on my coffin. But then my wife might say, no, he always bought me red roses. So we're going to have red roses on the coffin. So it's, I don't know, it's only little things, but they're things that make a big difference. And of course, when I've died, are we going to have a viewing? And that's something we need to think about. And a lot of family will say, no, we're not going to have a viewing. But the eldest son, he's been away for a few years. He'd like to see Dad. Yes, okay, we'll have a viewing, but we'll only have a viewing for the family, or we'll have a viewing for everybody. So that's, you know, some of the things that we need to think about. And of course, going on to the viewing, we need to think about clothes. How are we going to dress Dad? Are we going to dress Dad in his bowling outfit? Or Dad was a fireman. Are we going to dress him in his fire brigade clothes? So there are things, and Dad needs to think about it himself. And I'll just tell you this quick story before we go on to a bit of music. I went and seen a family some time ago, and I asked this question about clothes, and they all looked at me and laughed. And the man's wife took me out the back to... a garage out the back, and she said, I've just got to show you this before I give you his clothes. She said, and they'd been married for over 40 years. She said, ever since we've been married, she said, my husband's been working on this little old Austin, and she showed it to me, and it was still in bits and pieces. And then we go back inside, and she said, and this is why everybody's laughing. She said, because this is what he's to be dressed in. She gave me a pair of overalls, and she said, I have never washed those overalls.
Terrific. Bill, I've got Bill Matthews with me, and we've been talking about the sorts of things that families need to have discussions, and not at the last minute when somebody's ill or it's too late, but when everybody's healthy and happy and everybody's feeling good, to have some of these so that you know exactly what those people want. Bill, you've got a few more suggestions, please.
Just a couple of things that are fairly important for when the time comes, and that is that, let's say I died today. My mum and dad have been dead for many years, and my family perhaps might not know too much about them, and it's very important for the death certificate that my father's name gets put down, his occupation, his date of birth, my mother's name, her maiden name, her date of birth, her occupation, if I had children, whatever children I've had, so I might have been married three or four times, so we've got to have the places of marriage, we've got to have the dates of those marriages, person that I married, and of course all my children down, so we've got to have their names and their surnames, so and dates of birth, of course, so they're all very important. If I'm on a pension, we've got to have my pension number, which is usually fairly easy for family to find. We've got to have where I was born, and a lot of people don't know where mum and dad were born, but these are things that really need to be put down somewhere, and if anybody wants to get in touch with us, we can send them out an information pack which has all this information that they need to put down, whether they use us or not, has all these things to they can put down, so that when the time comes, they've got all this information at hand, and that's very important.
Bill, just very quickly, you talked about remarriages and that, because I've got to get to the news. What happens if a guy has been married to, or a woman has been married two or three times, they want to be buried with their partner, but how do you know which partner?
Well, that's why it's important for the person who's dying to let their family know where he is to be buried, because otherwise you have a real fight.
Bill, unfortunately, I've got to go. It's time for the 1 o'clock news, but I really do appreciate you coming in. I certainly hope that the people out there have learnt some of these things, because it's a bit like they always say you should keep your insurance policies and all that together, but you also need to have a lot of this information too, don't you?
You certainly do.
Thanks, Bill, and we'll now take the news.